the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I come before you just as I am. I am sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. In your name, I forgive all others for what they have done against me. I renounce Satan and the evil spirits and all their works. I give you my entire self, Lord Jesus, now and forever. I invite you into my life, Jesus. I accept you as my Lord, God, and Savior. Heal, change me, strengthen me in body, soul, and spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, cover me with your precious blood and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I love you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I shall follow you every day of my life. Amen. Mary, Mother Sorrows, Queen of Saint Peregrine, the Cancer Saint, all you angels and saints, please. Amen. Thank you very much, sister. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, join prayer for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, sanctify, blessed, deign, grant us the gift of fear, which makes us shun all sin, the gift of piety, which makes us respect and love to the divine persons, our parents and children, as is proper for the true children of God, the gift of knowledge, which makes us judge eternal and temporal things as God judges them, the gift of fortitude, which makes us bear all hardships for the love and greater glory of God, the gift of counsel, which makes us be guided and guide others in the way of truth of Christian-like life, the gift of understanding, which makes us penetrate deeply into what you, Holy Spirit, have deigned to reveal, the gift of wisdom, which makes us relish all that is right and in the line with eternal wisdom. This we ask you to grant us, gift of God Most High, who live in perfect unity of love with the Father and the Son. Amen. Welcome to the second day of the retreat. And when I was preparing this with Susie, she said that this guy, this priest, Archimandrita, was an extremely knowledgeable, and she, the American-born lady, said, there are many vocabularies I never heard. And that was Marge, my cousin who died, told me with John Paul too. He used very fancy words in English, John Paul too. And those are knowledgeable guy and guys. So this is not really the American English many ways, and it was hard. I wrote over, but it's a small sprint, although it was enlarged, but that's very, very hard. So I am sorry for the mistakes, and I told her, if it is something really bad, please correct me. So she follows me from the original book. The first title, number 13, The Prospering Sinners. In these God-inspired words, we receive the answer to the difficult question, why do the wicked prosper? The answer is, they prosper temporarily on this earth, since they are incorrigible sinners, and the Lord has left them because even suffering cannot set them straight. God has placed them in slippery places and takes them down into the abyss or abyss. We know that in the winter time, children look for slippery slopes to slide down upon with their sleighs. How pleasant it is for them as they slide. They fly down like arrows, especially if there is no obstacle in their way. But how often do those who are careless fall and break heads, arms, and legs? I did in the seminary, my ribs was broken. Only then do they see how dearly this pleasure has cost them, but it is too late. It is the same way with the prosperity of the hardened and unrepentant sinners in this world. They too go down the steep path of pleasure with their slaves of constant success as they enjoy themselves throughout their entire life. There are no annoying obstacles for them. They fly down like arrows toward their peril. If they had had branches in their way, that's what we got, surely the sticks would have anointed and tormented them, but actually they would have been a blessing because they would have stopped these people and protected them from going down to the bottomless pit of eternal death. If they had suffered, if their earthly existence did not consist only for songs and joys, then they might have remembered God and might have been saved. But alas, they make no sign of refusal in the time of their death. Psalm 72. For them, suffering is kept for after their death. When they die, when they wake up for their short and blissful but false earthly dream, they will see that all earthly goods, joys, and pleasure have disappeared like a dream. They will realize with bitterness that their bliss was illusory, but it will be too late. Number 14, blessing of sufferings, suffering is a great blessing. From previous parts of this book, it is clearly seen that suffering are great blessing in life. Should we grumble when God sends us sorrow? We should not. Rather, we should kiss the invisible hand which punishes us, for whom the Lord loves. He chastises and scourges every son, so that he receives, if you endure chastening, says the Holy Apostle Saint Paul. That's from also the next quotation from book letter of Hebrew. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastises not, but if you are without chastisement, where all are partakers, then are you blessed and not sons. There is not one saint who has not walked the road of suffering until he was saved. Saint John Chrysostom says, quote, "Let us not consider this sign that God has abandoned us and has despised us when we are subjected to trials, sorrows, but let it be a sign to us that the Lord cares for us, because by allowing the trials to come, he is cleansing our sins," unquote. God has not forgotten the man to whom he sends sufferings and trials, but rather in this way, he is proving his closeness to him. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of contrite heart, and he will save the humble spirit. Many are tribulations of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. That was Psalm 34. The deeper the sorrow, the closer God is. See, we have to remember, the deeper the sorrow, the closer God is, the darker the night, the brighter the stars. All sorrowful and humble people are God's beloved. Would God abandon them? No. He will not abandon them either in this world or in the one to come. He tenderly calls all suffering people to himself. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's Saint Matthew chapter 11. Even the Old Testament, he has given marvelous comfort to his beloved people. That's a quote from Prophet Isaiah chapter 49. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget you. Unquote. God speaks about every faithful son of his through the mouth of the psalmist. That's again Psalm 91. For he has set his hope on me, and I will deliver him. I will shelter him because He has known my name. He shall cry unto me, and I will hearken unto him. I will be with him in affliction. I will rescue him and glorify him, unquote. Is this nor comforting to every suffering heart? Christian, you who will come across these lines and will read them, be comforted in your sorrow if you are suffering. Know that God does not punish only those who have sold their souls to the devil to receive from him all earthly joys and pleasures. God does not punish only those who are not his. Like every father, he is not concerned with the correction and upbringing of the other people's children. Every father punishes his own children. If God sends you trials and punishment, do not grieve inconsolably, but rejoice that you are sons of his, that he cares for your salvation. Grieve a little. This is not a sin, but grieve with faith. Shed tears, but not inconsolably. Pour out your sorrow before the Lord, but do not grumble. Again, quote from Psalm 54. Cast your care upon the Lord, and he will nourish thee. Wait on the Lord, be you manful, and let your heart be strengthened, and wait on the Lord. Through your suffering, God is healing you and preparing you for greater future glory. Number 15, Saint John, the Merciful, and the Woman. The greatest mystic of the faith have valued suffering as sign of the great love of God and God's thoughtful fatherly care, which we cannot fully understand. While we are in this world, but which will be seen as a blessing when viewed from the future life. Church tradition relates that John the Merciful, after completing a divine service, once noticed that a woman was crying bitterly in a corner of the church. He told his deacon, "Go and bring that woman so that we can find out why she is so grieved, whether her husband died, or her children are sick, or God has sent her some other misfortune." The deacon brought the woman to the saint. When Saint John asked her why she was crying so inconsolably, she said, quote, How can I not cry, Holy Father? 3 years have passed and no sorrow has come to us. It seems that God has forgotten us completely. There is no sickness in the home. No ox has been lost, nor has a sheep died. And my family has begun to live carelessly. I am afraid that we will perish because of our easy life, And that is why I am crying. Unquote. The bishop, St. John, marveled that answer and praised God. In such a way, the Christians of the past have considered suffering to be sent from God and have grieved when they did not have sorrows. If they needed trials in life so that they would not forget God and become estranged from Him, how much more necessary and saving are sufferings for us, contemporary Christians who have sunk deeply in sins? God would not send sorrows in this life if they did not have the power to save us from eternal sorrows in hell. Suffering are a medicine. That's number 16. Sufferings are bitter medicines with blessed effects. They cure our various sins, especially pride, and humble us. When a doctor treats a sick man, he does not give him sweet dainties, but medicines, which are usually bitter. If the sick man is wise, he accepts these bitter drugs with gratitude, and without grumbling, knowing that they will cure him. Only foolish children make faith and do not want to drink the saving medicines because they are bitter to the tongue. How much we resemble foolish children when we grumble against the sufferings and sorrows in life which God sends to us. In our times of deepest grief, we must remember righteous Job, who suffered without guilt and despite that accepted all misfortunes which piled upon him without grumbling or blaspheming. He lost his property, his herds, his servants, and even his children. One after the other came the messages which informed him of the woes which had come upon him. At receiving every tragic piece of news, he only repeated the wonderful words, "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor changed God, charged God foolishly. Saint Job, chapter 1:21-22. Number 17, patience and the end. Through his sufferings, Job received salvation. However, not all suffering is beneficial to the soul and elevates it, taking it into the heavenly kingdom. It is only that suffering which is endured patiently with gratitude and trust in God and without grumbling. Those who suffer must have great patience so that they will be able to see how the bitter green buds on the branches of the virtuous life slowly and gradually under the care of the warm sun of righteousness ripen and turn into sweet fruits of perfection and salvation. Those who suffer must have great patience, lest they despair and, because of their impatience, the fruits fall before their due time. Sour, bitter, and green. In such a case, their suffering is in vain. Only he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved, says St. Matthew chapter 24. According to the teaching of St. Ephrem the Syrian, the Christian must stand among the various sorrows and temptations like an evil which, even though it is constantly hammered upon, does not move from its place, nor does it ruin, but stands the same as firm as it was in the beginning, unquote. We cannot be saved without suffering. How else could we be tested by God for being firm and unwavering in virtue? God arranges many things in life in such a way that man is tempted so that his free will can be manifested, and he, through the enduring of all trials, can receive salvation. Because those, according to the words of Saint Macarius the Great, quote, who live in suffering and temptations and endure the end, will not lose the kingdom of heaven. It is told about a saint that he, like the holy apostle Saint Paul, was seized and taken to heaven where he saw the bright homes of the righteous. He stopped in front of a wondrous palace in which a righteous and blissful soul was shining, and he asked, what were you on earth? It answered, I was a leper And I constantly thank God for that mercy. Such are the fruits of sufferings which are borne with gratitude and without grumbling. Some are bothered by the thought that their suffering may be pointless and fruitless for the salvation of their souls. They tell themselves the saints endured for Christ's sake, and that is why they were certain that through the enduring of suffering, they would save their souls. But we, unlike the saints, suffer either for our sins or because the envy of evil people, or by some chance, and because we do not suffer for Christ's sake. Our suffering weigh us down with their aimlessness and torment us doubly because of their uselessness. To this we should answer that nothing in this world happens by chance without God's will or God's punishment. Pardon me? Permission. I'm sorry. Thank you. Without God's permission. Even a single hair does not fall from our heads without God's knowledge. St. Luke chapter 21. If we are suffering because of our own sins, but we endure and repent before God, these sufferings free us from future punishment in the life beyond the grave and save us. The thief who was saved was crucified for his sins on the cross, on the right side of Christ. But through his endurance and repentance, he entered paradise. Suffering is to the soul what fire is to ore. Ore mixed with dirt, gravel, and other things is purified when it passes through fires. The soul, muddied by sins, clears up when it passes patiently through sufferings. Even though the sinner does not suffer like the martyrs for Christ's sake, these woes of his are counted as sufferings for God's sake and are beneficial to him when he is consumed with a yearning to be saved, humbles himself in his sorrows, repents of his sins, and says, quote from St. John Chrysostom, "For my lawlessness, I deserve much greater sufferings than the merciful God has sent me." And he continues, "The soul is cleansed when it suffers sorrows for God's sake." Unquote. Muddy water cannot be made clear unless it passes through the filters of sand. In the same way, the soul cannot be cleansed unless it goes through sufferings. If we undergo troubles without guilt from the malice of evil people, then, according to the words of Saint Dmitry of Rostov, even though we are not enduring persecution because of Christ, our sorrows will be counted as suffering for Christ's sake and will bring us martyr's crowns if we give thanks to God and do not grumble. Thus, every suffering can become suffering for God's sake. Amen. Let us pray for Charles. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.